For more on today's fallout, we are joined now by Chris Halissa, political reporter for the WashingtonPost.com. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Amy.
And not to diminish what Speaker Hastert is accused of ignoring here or turning a blind eye to, but are most Republican lawmakers involved now throwing Speaker Hastert under the proverbial bus?
Look,
to save their own careers?
Right. Look, the reality of this situation is that when you have something that is as potentially as explosive as this, when you have the potential or at least the perception of a cover-up involving children, and if not the direct abuse, certainly the verbal and the taking advantage of young people, politicians are at their core about self-preservation. And so they recognize this, from John Boehner to Tom Reynolds, the congressman from New York, who's the head of the campaign committee, to even Dennis Hastert. They all recognize that this has the potential. This could be a career ender. It certainly was for Congressman Foley, and it could be a career ender by being attached to it. So what you're going to see is what we've seen, a rare thing in Republican politics of late, a circular firing squad. You're really seeing everyone pushing the blame off on someone else, saying, well, I sort of knew about it, but I passed this up the chain of command. And the reality is at the top of the chain of command in the House is Dennis Hastert. And that's why I think you're seeing, at least in some parts of the country and in some parts of the conservative movement, calls for him to resign.
Right. And he's refusing to resign. He got an endorsement, so to speak, from the president today. But what are the odds? Is Hastert going to survive this?
You know, I hesitate to predict these things, because if you look back at some, this isn't a direct comparison, but look back at what happened with Trent Lott, the senator from Mississippi, the former majority leader, made some comments at a 100th birthday party for Strom Thurmond that weren't really picked up at first, and then gained more and more traction, comments about sort of the way things used to be, comments seemingly celebrating the old South. Picked up more and more by the media, picked up more and more by the blogosphere out there, and it eventually led to Trent Lott resigning. Now, if you had asked me on the day that Trent Lott gave that speech, would Trent Lott have resigned, I would have said no. I remember watching the speech and thinking, oh, that was a strange line, but I was by no means certain that it would end up the way it ended up. So these things, especially in the 24-hour news cycle, don't forget that we've got blogs, we've got radio, we've got TV, we've got cable, we've got all these different things, and so it's hard to tell where the story goes. If everything that's out today is all that's out there, I do think Dennis Hastert hangs on. I think that he's got a lot of loyalty built up with House Republicans. But again, I return to my earlier point. Politicians are first and foremost about keeping themselves in office and keeping themselves elected. So if at some point this criticism reaches critical mass and they believe that the way that they can preserve their majorities is to move Speaker Hastert out, it'll become a conversation. I just don't think we're there yet, but again, I would hesitate to make any predictions about where we might be going in the next few days or weeks.
Clearly, Congressman Foley not looking or not thinking about preserving his career when he put into writing what he put into writing. I mean, I think the big question a lot of people are asking, the remarkable part about a lot of this, is that did Congressman Foley think he wouldn't get caught putting this in instant messages, typing
right,
these messages?
Right. You know what's interesting is that I don't know Congressman Foley on a friendly basis, but I know him as a politician. I've covered politics for a while in this town, and I was always struck by how politically savvy he was. He was someone who talked about running for the Senate, obviously had an interest in it, actually got into the race in 2003 before getting out in favor of Mel Martinez, who's currently in the Senate. He talked about it again when Congressman Catherine Harris's senatorial bid, which is this cycle, came up. She was flagging and having trouble. He sort of put himself out there. So I think what it shows is that we human beings are a fascinating group of people. Sometimes we do things that are not in our best interest. Look, Mark Foley, the politician, clearly understood that putting these things down in an email or in an instant message or whatever form he put them in was going to be potentially perilous in his political career. But Mark Foley, the human being, obviously couldn't help himself. I mean, that's sort of, you know, there are obviously two sides of Mark Foley, one that we were all aware of and one that we weren't.
All right. And Chris, one last question for you in terms of the big question. Was there a cover-up to the cover-up? The Washington Post reporting that Kirk Fordham, Representative Reynolds' chief of staff, may have tried to cut a deal with ABC's Brian Ross once they knew that Ross had those instant messages. Much of the leadership's defense here was that these emails were just overly friendly. They weren't sexually explicit in nature. But the deal was attempted apparently after the more explicit IMs were revealed. Is there a cover-up to the cover-up?
You know, I think that's a debate we're going to see out. Remember, Amy, and Chip pointed this out in his report, anything that happens 35 days or closer to an election is going to be freighted with political significance. So you're seeing Democrats quietly stoke this, make sure that reporters are aware of the latest developments, make sure reporters are aware of what Republicans have said what about the speaker, what Republicans have said what about any potential cover-up. And you see Republicans, on the other hand, trying to paint this as, well, maybe Democrats actually knew about this and were holding it off until they could sort of keep it in their hip pocket until they could spring it for maximum political gain. So this is all going to be, I think, sorted out in the wash before we get to the election. But we're going to see that debate, that political debate, who's to blame and why, play out in the next week or two, because that's the essential debate here, is that Republicans know that if they simply take the blame for this and it looks, whether it's true or not, if the perception is that they covered this up, they're in a lot of trouble.
That's right. Before it all washes out, we'll be in spin cycle. Chris Salissa, political reporter for the WashingtonPost.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me.